Okay, now I can definitely hear myself. Welcome everyone to the Public Works Advisory Board regular meeting. It's January 17th, 2024. I'll start by asking Mr. Kwolek to help us establish our quorum before we proceed.
Thank you. I'll do a roll call. Board Member Ingraffio?
Yes.
Board Member Goldman? Board Member Irwin, Board Member Hill, Board Member Gaffney, Board Member Nava,
here,
and Chair Beal.
Here, thank
you. We have a full quorum, thanks.
We have a full quorum, and then before we begin with our agenda, we always start with a moment of silent reflection. Thanks. And thank you, and we'll now move on to our Pledge of Allegiance. If anyone would like to lead us, or we can all go together. Thank you. And next we'll turn to announcements. Do any board members have any announcements they would like to make? No? Seeing none. Does the director or staff have announcements?
Yes, thank you, Chair Beal. We have a couple of announcements. First, just as a point of order, staff is requesting that we move around the business items a little bit to accommodate the needs of one of our presenters. So we're asking that B3 be heard as B1, then B1 be heard as B2, and B2 as B3. So basically we put B3 first and we bump up the rest. The other announcement, and I say this with in a bittersweet way, our city engineer has announced he's off to greener pastures and will no longer be with the city effective February 9th. And Mr. Riddio has worked here since March of 2022. He's been an outstanding city engineer. I've seen firsthand how he's changed the culture in the engineering division to one of collaboration. And he's also kickstarted our capital program, which was at a standstill during COVID. We've expanded the engineering division, we found good folks, and he's just made that a rock star division. And that's despite all sorts of things being thrown at him and his team in terms of weather catastrophes and other emergencies and surprises that come up day to day that distract us and keep us from our work. You know, he's holding over 35 capital projects at the moment, and in addition to that, the FEMA workload, which is very heavy. Mr. Riddio, I can't say enough about you. I consider you a friend. I'm very sad that you're leaving, but I'm sure Caltrans will be very happy once you begin there as senior transportation engineer. And Mr. Riddio will be working on projects in North San Luis Obispo County, including projects on Big Sur closures when they have landslides and rock slides there on the 101 and the 1. And so it's very exciting that I'll be working on those big projects. So he's a resident of Morro Bay. He's raised his kids here for the past several years. And I know he'll still be a member of the community. I hope maybe one day he'll be on the PWAP. So anyway, do you have any words to say, Eric?
Oh, well, first of all, thank you, Greg, for those kind words, and to all of you, the board, to the public. It's been a sincere pleasure to be in this position. It's certainly a challenge given the, you know, our needs as a community and our resources. But I think most of all, I've learned how to listen and be present and try and make incremental progress, even though it seems like things are falling apart all around you. So, like Greg mentioned, we have a great team of staff, and I know there's certainly challenges ahead, but as a resident, I'll continue to advocate for things in Morro Bay and will certainly consider my time here very fruitful for me as in my career as I move on to other things. So thank you.
Thank you, Eric. The other announcement I'll make, and a bit impromptu, but apparently in downtown there's been a sign that's been put up saying that no parking for 3 months, Monday through Friday, and there's a mistake on that sign. That sign is to do some directional boring work to underground fiber, and that should only be two-week intervals of closure. So there is a mistake on that no parking sign, and we're working with the contractor to get that fixed. Other than that, no updates for me.
All right, thank you very much, and congratulations, Eric. We'll certainly miss you and wish you well. We'll move on to a general public comment period. This time is specifically for items that are not already on our agenda. If you're able to stay and have a comment on an agenda item, you would get the benefit of hearing some information before you make your comments or after you make your comments. So does anyone here present in the audience have something they'd like to comment on at this time?
Good evening. My name's Betty Winholtz. Excuse me. I want to comment on, I don't know if it's a procedure or just to the advantage of the public. We have a policy that if a public tree is going to be cut, that we post it 10 days in advance. However, over the holiday, 4 days before Christmas, two trees on Main Street were posted. And that didn't give me or others the time during the holidays to attend to that or to have staff in their office. Or it seems like maybe on a holiday situation, we could have a posting that's after the holiday instead of 4 days before it. So it's convenient for the public and maybe more convenient for staff as well. So I'm just kind of making that request, and maybe it's more of staff than a policy decision, but wanted to bring that to your attention.
Thank you. Anyone else? And then do we have anyone attending virtually who has a comment right now?
There are no raised hands on Zoom.
Okay, thank you. So moving on, agenda item A is our consent calendar. So we have three items, A1 and A2 and A3. All three of these items are approval of minutes for our past three meetings. A1 meeting minutes from September 20th, 2023. A2 approval of meetings for the October 18th, 2023 meeting. And then A3 is approval of minutes for the December 6th, 2023 meeting. So before we go ahead, does any of the board members have a concern with considering all those items together? Would anyone like to have a separate discussion? Okay, would anyone in our audience like to make a public comment before we move on whether to approve the minutes? Or anyone online?
Hi, board member Lori. So we have no raised hands in the queue at the moment.
Okay, great, thank you. So we can close public comment. Are there any discussion or remarks from the board? And then if not, we would be...
I did have a question about what's the steps
to approve the
okay.
So do we have a motion regarding the minutes?
Okay, I'll make the motion to accept all the items on the consent calendar to approve.
Thank you. Do we have a second?
I'll second that motion.
Excellent.
Board Member Nava? Board Member Gaffney?
Aye.
Board Member Hill?
Aye.
Board Member Irwin?
Aye.
Board Member Goldman?
Aye.
Board Member Ingrafia?
Aye.
And Chair Beal?
Yes.
The motion passes.
So now we will move on to our business items under B, and then we just talked about a slight change of order. So we're going to start with the item that has been listed as B3, consideration of proposed change to traffic flow of West Drive Aisle to one way between Morro Bay Landing and Harbor Department office. So I believe we have a presentation. Excellent, thank you. Please go ahead.
Thank you, Chair Beal. We're waiting for the exhibit to come up. So this is an idea that is being proposed by the Harbor Department to create a one-way aisle right by the North T Pier. And the Harbor Director, Ted Chaffone, is here to present on that. So I'll give it to Ted.
Thank you, Director Qualley. Good evening, Chair Beal and advisory board members. I am Ted Chaffone, the Harbor Director. I'm asking today for your recommendation and comments on this proposed one-way traffic aisle around the harbor office. Rather than me reading the entire staff report to you, I can basically say that this is a safety issue that we've noticed over the past several months since I've been in my position. I would like to make some changes that would make it safer, not only for the vehicles that travel through that area, but certainly for the visitors and pedestrians and bicycles and children that actually end up through that corridor on a daily basis. If you take a look at the concept plan, what we're asking for is that the pathway be identified as one way, starting from the south end and heading north past the harbor office and past the Coast Guard building. What I would like to see is a traffic aisle that's clearly marked so that trucks and whatever, you know, might be going through there understands that they need to stay within that traffic aisle. I would also propose that signage indicate that there's certain areas not to turn left or right or do not enter, as well as some marked areas by the harbor office that would make it clear that there is to be no parking, especially where we park our Harbor Patrol vehicles. My big concern is the entrance to the harbor office, which ends up being very close to the trucks that travel both ways on that path. So I'd like to have your comments and any recommendations, and I hope to be able to take this forward. I can answer any questions.
Thank you.
Yeah, I have a question. Has the sign placement and the sign package been reviewed by a traffic engineer, or is there any reference to, would this be a local street, or it's more of an alleyway?
Board Member Nava, I can't answer whether it's a street or an alleyway. I'm not a traffic engineer, but the plan would be to bring in a traffic engineer to do this so that it meets all the standards that the city has and that are required by code.
Yeah, I'll just add that it's a considered parking. It's not recognized as a city street. So we would treat it as we do any of the public parking lots, but we would follow MUTCD standards for signage placement and arrow sizes and everything else. So.
What sort of changes are you planning for parking? Are you going to say places where people typically park, are you going to call them no parking? Are you going to align spaces so they'd be consistent with the direction of travel, things like that?
Board Member Irwin, there would be areas marked off that would be either loading, unloading areas. I can envision being by the fish landing area where trucks do need to be able to park and load and unload for a period of time. There'd be an area that I would consider near the harbor office, where we would also have an area that needs to be a no parking area because our emergency vehicles need to be parked there. I don't anticipate any permanent parking in that particular aisleway. That is strictly to be a drive aisle, primarily for deliveries. We'd prefer not to have the general public even driving through that area, but I'm not sure if that's something that can be accomplished or not, but certainly to make it clear that it is a one-way path within a specific driving area on that aisle.
I know I've used those parking spaces between the harbor office and Tognazzini's when we've gone to Tognazzini's, so it's just, if you're going to be taking away those things, you might have to consider impacts to parking downtown, or because, to be honest, it's pretty bad.
Yeah, and I understand what you're referring to, and those spaces would not be removed.
Okay. Then to get to them, they would need to have access to this travel?
Correct.
Okay.
Would the project include markings for pedestrians and bikes and other uses, or is it anticipated to just direct the flow of traffic?
Yeah. Chair Beal, thank you. That is something that I believe a traffic engineer can help us address. I do believe it needs a pedestrian, safe pedestrian area that's marked. I will tell you, in the future, the Harbor Walk is planned through that area, and so that might be addressed at a later time. But certainly now I think we can address providing some sort of a safe marked area where pedestrians would know that it's safe to travel on versus the drive aisle.
Okay, thank you.
I have a question that's sort of related. I know there's a lot of timber damage right there at Santa Monica Fish Company. Can that be a part of this project, or?
Yeah. Board member.
Doug Hill.
Hill, I'm sorry. My eyesight's not getting any better. So I know what you're referring to also. There is some damage to the wharf right there, and there are some planned improvements to that. Currently, right now, in the next year and a half, there'll be no improvements made to that area. It's structurally okay. When the next lease on that specific area is put in place, we would absolutely require some improvements to that wharf area there and some of the timber.
It just to me looks like a bit of a hazard for pedestrians is why I bring that up.
Yeah, and again, I appreciate that. That is part of what we would hope to do during this, is to identify a safe travel path for pedestrians also.
Any other board questions? I don't see any, so we can move on to our public comment. Thank you for the presentation. Any members of the public like to make a comment on this agenda item?
Betty Winholtz again. It's not a comment, but I would hope you would ask for an answer to my question. My question is the direction that the arrow is going, and I just want to know why it's going south to north instead of north to south.
And the reason for that, and I should have explained that earlier, Harbor Patrol needs to be able to get out onto the Embarcadero and turn left immediately for emergencies on the beach, and that's the only way to do it. If we reverse that travel, they would be heading south on the Embarcadero or having to get across traffic, and it's more difficult to get out that way. So that's the purpose, is to make it easier. Yes.
Any other public comment on this one? And do we have anyone that would like to comment who's viewing online?
Hi, Board Member Lori. There are no raised hands in the queue.
Okay, thank you. Would the board like to have any discussion before we move to a vote? For my part, I'm not going to change the recommendation that's been provided, which says it's written that we would change and mark one-way traffic. But I would recommend personally that perhaps that language could be tweaked to expressly include that it would be for not just for traffic, but for pedestrians and other uses as well.
So you're saying that even the pedestrians can only go one way on that?
not necessarily that they can only go one way, but just that those uses be included in the whole project, which I understand to be primarily a painting slash signage project.
Noted.
Would anyone like to make a motion on this item? Do we have a recommendation from the board?
I move that we agree with the recommendation to make it one way and also have the plan address pedestrian and vehicle delivery issues too.
And I second.
Okay.
Board Member Ingraffia?
Yes. Aye.
Board Member Goldman?
Yes.
Board Member Irwin?
Yes.
Board Member Hill?
Yes.
Board Member Gaffney?
Yes.
Board Member Nava?
Yes.
Chair Beal?
Yes.
The motion passes.
Thank you. And so now we are going to go to what was originally listed as item B1, the local roadway safety plan. This agenda item is to review and discuss the draft plan. Do we have a presentation for this item?
Yes, we do. Thank you, Chair Beal. As members of the board are aware and the public that we've been in the process of developing our local roadway safety plan for the last several months. This is a budgeted project and also partially funded by Caltrans. The local roadway safety plans are a required document to be able to pursue grant funding for safety related projects. We hired a consultant, Kimley Horn, to guide us through this process and to drive the efforts in putting this document together with their expertise of traffic engineers and in the transportation planning and we had numerous workshops, meetings, and public outreach, and then also looked at crash analysis and a lot of other data points to prepare what's before you tonight. At our last meeting, which was a special meeting in December of the PWAB, our last PWAB meeting, we presented many of the proposed improvements and the latest developments, and also the kind of the synthesis of the public outreach and all the data, and what we didn't have at that time was kind of the benefit cost ratio analysis and all the project ideas broken down. So that piece has been added. So what we're looking for tonight is a recommendation to receive this and prior to its finalization and presentation to the City Council in February, and also a recommendation that the PWAB approve the presentation once finalized with the input of the PWAB and the public for City Council adoption. So with that, I'm going to turn it over to Daryl DePensier with our consultant, Kimley Horn, who is now the acting project manager. We had another project manager, Kyle McGowan, who recently left the company. So, but Daryl will be presenting some slides tonight to kind of give us a little bit of the background of the process for those who haven't heard, but also kind of give you a feel of the structure of the document, which is rather long, of course, but kind of give you some of the high points of that. So with that, I'll turn it over to Daryl.
Yeah, thank you very much, Eric. Let me just see if I can get the presentation on screen here. Is everybody able to see this now?
Yes.
All right, great. So as Eric mentioned, the local road safety plan is a requirement that Caltrans has put in place to be for the city to be eligible for highway safety improvement program funding.
I'm sorry, Daryl, can you hear me? I'm actually going to switch it over to ours because this presentation shared over Zoom is coming in a little fuzzy, so give me one second.
Oh, sure, yeah, no problem. I'll stop that then.
I'll let you know. Okay, you can go ahead. We have the first slide up, and just let me know when you need the slides changed.
Great, thank you. This is a required program from Caltrans. It allows the city to pursue highway safety improvement program funding for the next 5 years once this plan has been adopted by the city. And we've also configured it to hopefully allow the city to look at safe streets and roads for all funding as we move down the road. There may be a few little addendums needed because the requirements are a bit different than what the local road safety plan requires, but for the most part, this will open up that path for you as well. So on the next slide, we'll just talk a little bit about what's in the draft LRSP, what our review period is, and then where we need to go from this point forward. So as far as the draft LRSP summary goes, this plan was funded largely by Caltrans with some matching funds by the city. And this was to really support the city's ability to get this plan in place and meet those HSIP requirements. And as I mentioned, it's good for funding. We've had several rounds of public engagement as we've worked through this plan, really trying to hone in on what it is that residents in the city are most interested in and most concerned about for safety, as well as a fairly detailed review of the last 10 years of crash data, and also a look at the existing plans and policies against what we have as best practices across the industry. So on the next slide, as far as the crash analysis, we really saw some particular issues in the city that we'd want to address as priorities that could lead to the more severe crashes, and speeding was a big one. Cut through traffic, so people driving on smaller residential streets that aren't configured for that volume. Drivers ignoring stop signs and signals. Lighting in some of the areas around the edges of the city, particularly as you move to the outskirts. And then pedestrian bicycle safety, because you do have a lot of people moving around on foot and on bike, and when they interact with vehicles, that can be a challenge. So the crash data definitely backed up that these are issues that we wanted to explore more thoroughly. Then on the next slide, when we were looking at those emphasis areas, we also looked at specific locations in the city that seemed to jump out in terms of the concerns we heard from the public, the crash data we were seeing, and other things. So Morro Bay Boulevard, the Embarcadero, Quintana Road, Main Street, and South Bay Boulevard were the hot spots that we evaluated in more detail. So we did a pretty in-depth review of what was going on there, what kind of the configurations of the crashes were, what conditions were most contributing to those crashes so that we could incorporate that into our final recommendations. Then on the next slide, one of the things that we developed as part of the local road safety plan to help address it was a traffic calming toolbox. So we looked at the priority corridors where we saw the most cut through traffic happening, and we came up with a list of different countermeasures the city can implement to discourage traffic from using those streets, and the traffic that is using those streets can progress a little more slowly and a little more safely. In addition, we did look at non-engineering countermeasures, so things that were in education, enforcement, emergency response, which is a requirement of the program as well, and that was informed largely by our review of existing policies and programs that the city has. So in the report, there are a series of recommendations for where the city can move on in those areas as well. And then lastly, we looked at different funding sources that are available. that we've seen, how severe they are, and then there's a set of standard parameters. So if it's a fatal crash, it's worth so many dollars. If it's a serious injury crash, it's worth so many dollars in terms of cost. So once we put a specific countermeasure in, we can say this has been proven in research to reduce crashes by 25%, maybe a certain level of crash, a certain type of crash, or it may just be all crashes. So we calculate how much of that cost are we going to reduce by implementing that countermeasure over that same life cycle that we estimated the cost for, and then it's the ratio of those two things. So, for example, the last round of Highway Safety Improvement Program funding, it was so competitive, a project submitted had to have 18 times more benefit than the cost to make it through the funding cycle. Most grant programs that use benefit cost are more like 3 times would be a great result. So depending on which grant program you're going for, that benefit cost really helps you determine which program is the best fit for any given project.
Thank you. I have a question. I believe we received a public comment by email that kind of questioned that some of the sample size here is pretty small, like there's one incident over 5 years. How does your evaluation or whatever modeling you do account for the situations where you have very limited data?
That's a great question, and it is an issue. So typically when we're doing our statistical analyses, we need to see at least 3 crashes before we try to infer anything from a statistical standpoint. But in a smaller place like Morro Bay, we don't necessarily have that data. So we also look at it as an aggregate total. So we're not just looking at what happened at this one intersection or on this one roadway segment. We're looking at the overall complete body of crashes, because a lot of the best projects are more systemic. They're lower cost things that we can do everywhere. So we're really using this more to get a handle on what factors led to a serious injury or a fatal crash, or even some of the more minor ones, so that we can identify and fix that everywhere. So we wouldn't see one crash and say, now this is a huge priority to fix this immediately. That tends to be a bit more of an emotional response. So there may be something there we need to do, but it doesn't necessarily indicate that that's going to be the most highly prioritized thing to do, just if there's only one or two crashes, because as you said, we can't really infer too much about the future based on that.
Thank you. Any other board questions?
If it's so competitive that you have to have a high ratio between the incidences, and Morro Bay doesn't have those numbers, right? Will we fit into that, having such a high ratio? Are we competitive, I guess, is what I want to know. Are we competitive for any of this money?
So, again, that is a not really a yes or no answer. It depends. There are certainly, if you wanted to do a really big, expensive project, Morro Bay is going to have a really hard time with the Highway Safety Improvement Program. However, they do have a series of set-asides in the program that you can do that are not benefit cost dependent. So let's say you wanted to put a rapid flashing beacon to help with a pedestrian crossing, or if you want to do some edge lines or improve some crosswalks, those kind of things HCIP has a special pot of money for, specifically geared to smaller cities that might not have that benefit cost ratio. The other thing we can do sometimes is wider implementations of low cost things. And honestly, because I wasn't the manager of this study all the way through, I don't know if this applies to you guys, but one example is, like, if you have your traffic signals, you can put a little yellow backplate around. It's a very inexpensive thing you can do, and you can collect a lot of benefit with something like that. It can help offset the cost of something more expensive. And I believe in your city you only have one signal, so you're not going to have that much benefit to collect, but that's usually where the highest costs are. So the set-asides are probably going to be the best bet in the current version of Highway Safety Improvement Program. That said, it does change every cycle, and there is a push to move the benefit cost into a different type of system. So preparing the city for that when that occurs will make things a lot easier for you down the road. And then other programs have different funding criteria. and usually much more lower thresholds, so we want to make sure you're ready to go for those too.
What would the process be if in between the cycle of updating the LRSP, you decide you want to add another project?
So the good thing is the LRSP is not a prescriptive document. It's there to show that the city has done its analysis and that you've got your emphasis areas and your safety. So you don't have to pull a project straight out of the LRSP to go for funding. You can have a different project. You'll want to, in your grant application, describe how it's addressing some of the issues that were discovered in the LRSP, but everybody understands that things come up and we're not going to be able to forecast the future. So if a new development comes in or some pattern starts to emerge or you're trying to fix something that we don't know about now, that you're not prevented from doing that because it's not in the LRSP right now. That said, the LRSP does need to be updated every 5 years, and some agencies choose to update it periodically when they get new crash data, and that's done at the city's discretion.
Can you explain a little bit better what the eligible for HSIP set-aside means?
So when the cycle comes out each time, the Caltrans will host a little webinar, and they'll put out a revised document describing what their program is covering each year. So for the last several cycles, they have designated certain types of safety improvements as set-asides. So in the last few cycles, for example, the rapid flashing beacon, which is the little yellow lights that blink back and forth when somebody can activate at a crosswalk, has been in the set-aside. So if a city wants to install one of those in their city, they can apply to HSIP for that under a set-aside application. Any city can do this. They are not required to show a crash history associated with it. You just need to show that there's some sort of a need. Maybe there's a pedestrian demand there that's not being met, something like that. You put in the application, and it's a much simpler application process than the larger benefit cost. They've been maxing out at around $250,000 over the last few cycles. And some cycles, they haven't even exhausted the full set-aside fund, so most cities that apply for those actually get them funded. But you do still have to have the local road safety plan to be eligible to do that.
Are bike lane improvements and extra right turn lanes, are those in set-asides?
There have been cycles that have included bike lanes. I haven't seen one that's done anything about right turn lanes.
What are the matching funds we would need to qualify for these grants?
Highway Safety Improvement Program last cycle was a 10% match. Sometimes the set-asides don't have any match requirement. Sometimes they've had the 10%. So it really depends on what Caltrans comes up with for the next cycle.
So 10% would be a typical matching
Correct,
fund?
Yeah.
Okay.
I have a question about process going forward. This obviously isn't going to be submitted for funding in its entirety, so there has to be a decision made by the city council to prioritize which ones they want to submit to the funding agencies. And how does that work? When is that done?
Thank you for the question.
That might be a better question for Eric.
I can take that. Thank you. Thank you for the question, Board Member Hill. It's a good question, and that's the one that staff is especially interested in, since we'll be the ones implementing these projects. You know, right now it's speculation because we don't have a document yet. It's in draft phase, and so, you know, we're looking for comments on the document, and ultimately we'll be looking for approval from the City Council. And once we have the document, we'll be generating a list of projects. We'll propose prioritization. We'll very likely bring that to the PWEB first. That said, we may get started on one project early that we see as high priority. It's one that involves Morro Bay Boulevard and the police station. Currently, police department staff have to cross Morro Bay Boulevard in a tricky manner to get to their parking lot across the street. There is a crosswalk that is, I would say, half a block or less to the east, and
for whatever reason, drivers just do not seem to see that there is a crosswalk there. And we've painted it. We've made it brighter. We've painted the there's like a railing there. We've painted that a bright fluorescent yellow to make it pop. But we continue to hear from police department staff that it's not a great situation. And since we've been made aware of it, that's one area that we'd like to address first. And we may group similar projects together in a bid to handle that situation. Excuse me. And the benefit of that, of course, is just efficiency in terms of staff resources and pricing from a contractor. But yes, for some of these projects, we'll be looking for and applying for grants, and we'll take those on a case-by-case basis. But typically, when we are seeking grants, we find out about a grant, and then we ask the city council for permission to apply. So very likely what we'd be doing with prioritization is putting together a rough priority list for the city council's approval. And again, we'd run that by PWEP for which projects are most important. And then we start seeking funding, and then we go to city council to request permission to apply for those grants.
And I'll just add that we also have some budget in with this consultant to help with the implementation priority as well. Their insight into working with other agencies and how competitive they're able to provide that that expertise to kind of help our decision, because we do want to be as competitive as possible. So we'll look to them for that as well.
Thank you. I have one quick question. I think you already did cover this, but for our record and for any interested Morro Bay residents watching, could you clarify what the opportunities are to continue submitting comments on this draft? Is there a deadline, and how are you accepting those comments?
Yeah, thank you for the question. We'll be accepting comments through the end of the month, and we have an LRSP website. If you go to the city's website, there's one of the flashing banners that says LRSP. You can click on that. It goes to the website, and the draft of the plan is also posted there, and we have an email address for the project itself that comments can be submitted. So.
Great, thank you. And if the board members are finished, I think one more.
Yeah, so when I was sitting on this committee, when we were putting it together, I did a poll of the citizens, and the list they had at the beginning of the report there were, speeding, aggressive driving was by far the highest concern. And the other thing that I heard in there was that the state is very concerned about accidents which cause physical harm or death. And so that's kind of, and then taking steps to keep people safe and bicyclists safe and stuff, they were up there too. So I just, aggressive driving was, and ignoring other people was basically the biggest issue that I heard when I talked to the people when we were putting this discussion together. So just for your information, that if they were going to address this stuff for the public, you probably need to keep that in mind, that if they're going to deal with what they're concerned about, it's things that cause accidents and aggressive driving.
Yeah, and I'll just add that as a reminder, it's engineering, and is only one of the elements. So engineering changes or physical changes, signage, striping. There's also enforcement and education. So those are things that need to be followed up after the plan. So working with the police department, who's been a partner in this process all along, and ways to educate. If there's traffic calming put in somewhere, there needs to be education about how it works. I mean, I think speed humps are pretty obvious. You you don't slow down, you're gonna really feel it and cause a lot of noise. But you know, there were comments of the existing roundabout, better signage, better, you know, maybe another education round on that. So those are things that need to come out of this plan as well, not just projects.
Okay.
And, also want to add that what isn't in the draft here that will be in the final is appendix that has all of the comments received with names and all that removed, but the actual feedback in the interactive tool and also any email feedback that we receive. So everything will be memorialized in the document.
And there are several pages of those, so we have been receiving a lot.
And? Oh, you have another question? Okay.
I have a question for Eric that relates specifically to a concern of mine with respect to bicycles. I think it's called the Lower Park Road. Very narrow, wide, but with blind turns. Does there exist a capacity to prohibit bicycles on any roads that are used by automobiles? I say that because I realize how expensive, you know, providing a bicycle and a walking path might be. But in the interim, before we might be able to afford that or funds are available, could we prohibit bicycles on any stretch of road?
Thanks for the question. I don't know if there's any way to prohibit bicycles. I think the strategy that I would suggest we take is sharing the road, is signage or striping that indicates that bicycles can take the full width or have as much of a right to the road as vehicles, and that is not always welcomed. I think you know, people get in a rush and they have to pass, and for narrow roadways, that's really the only way. Because, I don't think you can limit bicycles or prohibit them from certain stretches. And are you talking about the state park area?
Yes.
So yeah, that's state park. You know, where Maine hits the state park is technically out of the jurisdiction of the city. So that would be conversations with State Park about possibly, you know, because one of the future improvements we're looking at, you know, we did our arterial dig out project on the whole stretch of Maine up to from State Park up to 41, and we've focused on bicycle improvements for that corridor, and a lot of areas are pretty narrow and only would accommodate share the road signs. So that is already something we're looking at doing after we do the surface seal project that is coming. Well, we had hoped to do it last year, but with everything else, it's been pushed until probably the spring. But lots of bicycle improvements, I think, are needed citywide to bring more attention to, especially when you have narrow roadways.
Thank you. I'd like to move on to public comment next. So I'll start by asking if there's anyone here in our audience that would like to comment on this agenda item. And I acknowledge that we have received some comments via email, and as Eric said, those are available on our website and will be available later as well.
How dare you leave us, Eric? She's just getting used to you. And you know, if you're working for Caltrans, you're going to be right here anyhow in all of these problems. My main comments are, because I live on Main Street and right smack dab in the middle of it, I am seeing lots of wonderful improvements as far as Main Street is concerned. I've always been a strong proponent for traffic calming, particularly as you're coming up to Main and 41. That's a dire necessity for that. And Is any of this including the possibility of the roundabout at 41 and Main? Just a question on that part. And also, Main and Radcliffe, they're talking about realigning the intersection. How do you do that? And because that is really a very big problem as far as anybody coming out of Radcliffe and choosing to turn, if you're brave enough, turn left onto Main Street because there's no visibility whatsoever. I applaud all of these projects, and hopefully they will be prioritized and we'll have a say in what has the highest priority. And that's all my comments. And my name is Linda Winters.
Thank you for your comments. Anybody else?
Betty Winholtz again, and I did send you a very late email. So one of my questions is, will that be included in the document, or do I need to send it to your website? That's one question. The second question is, I heard that these projects are not prescriptive and that you can add to them. So does that mean some can be taken out? For example, the mini roundabout at Herba Buena and Main. Not something that I've ever heard anyone propose that lives there or here. Now, Ms. Goldman lives right there, so she might have a different take on that. So there are things in there that I don't think should be done, but then that's my opinion. And so I don't know at what point they're be evaluated, unless that's when they're brought back to City Council after being prioritized. Because there are 64 of them, and that's a lot. And we already have lots of capital projects, and so I don't know that we need more things for staff to look after. And my third point was not going to be remembered. So maybe that was it, just knowing that we've got more time for comments and that maybe I need to be sending somewhere else. Whether projects can be taken out as well as added to, and that's my memory.
Thank you, Betty.
Good evening. Good evening, staff. My name's James Spencer. I'm the curmudgeon on Ironwood, and hate to see you leave, Eric. I wasn't going to speak until you had some questions about some of the funding here, and I went over that this draft is huge. It's pretty long. It's almost like a moon launch, you know. And it is a moon launch, and it's, you know, about the funding. And I appreciate questioning that. I brought up Ironwood is a speedway there, 2400 block. And I don't know if it's the cars that are coming off of Tascadero Road that have been going 55 miles an hour. They slow down, they come up over Ironwood, and then they shoot down. I'm on the 2400 block. And just about the time you think there's no problem, this yesterday I'm sitting there reading the draft with my front door open, thinking it's out, peace and quiet. There you go. So I don't know, in the public works yard, I don't know if you have any old slow signs like used for the construction when your crew came up and fixed my water main here about a year and a half ago, and then Mike Burton had to come in and tear up all the asphalt, and he was doing some road work there. Just those road signs, those work signs that says slow, really helped out. So if you got any that are going to go before they go to the landfill, bring them to my house, and I'll rotate them around between the neighbors. And by the way, I'm Harry and Mary's next-door neighbor, just on the other side there.
Okay.
Just for your...
I remember.
Okay, anyway... the Morro Bay Peace, PD, when they put up the speed limit sign, yeah, if they could rotate that in more often, that'd be great. With the interactive tool we had, where the comment, I made a comment on coming down Avalon on Main Street about the shrubs there. Anyway, couple weeks later, I came down, they clean that off, and I could pull up to that stop sign, at that limit sign, and I get a clear view. It's like all of a sudden you can see. So anyway, I appreciate that. Thanks for hearing me out. Hey, good luck, and I hope to see you around. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Do we have anyone attending virtually who would like to comment?
Hi, board member Lori. There are no raised hands in the queue at the moment.
All right, thank you. So closing public comment, we've been asked to consider a motion that would recommend finalizing this plan and recommending it to City Council.
Real quick, Board Member Beal, there was a couple questions I wrote down that I was just going to respond to if
yes, please go ahead.
Okay. There was a question about the roundabout, and this is 411 Main Street. That is considered a current project, so it's not a future project. And, of course, the safety elements of that will be a huge focus of that project. It'll be all-encompassing. So that's why it is not addressed in the benefit cost ratio table in this report. As far as comments, anything submitted to PWAB and the LRSP email, we will receive those. So to your question about your email received, yes, we did receive it. Some of the ideas in there, the mini roundabout was mentioned. These are, again, are all ideas. They're not, this document isn't like all-encompassing, we're going to go out and get all these done. It's really to prioritize, and maybe that isn't a huge priority, but the reason these things came up is because of the crash history and because of feedback we received from the community. So based on that feedback or based on the type of incidents, those are the tools that were recommended that could address the conflicts. So that's the reason for that. And then as far as rotating in the PD sign, I think, that's our biggest traffic calming tool at this point, besides in other enforcement. So we'll continue to work with PD on the enforcement as we venture into looking at traffic calming. I think that was it.
Great, thank you.
My question was, at this time, will this board be asked or want to provide any insights into that prioritizing, or is the prioritizing, our input in terms of prioritizing coming later, or what?
Thank you for the question, Board Member Ingrafia. We'll be bringing that prioritization back to the board at a later date after the document is approved by City Council.
I'll just ask Daryl if he's still on. The prioritization in the document itself will be done by Kimley Horn. Based on your experience with the grant programs, is that correct?
Yes, that's correct. It's important to remember, though, that this document is a toolbox. It's not a prescriptive set of projects. So no city is going to implement every recommendation in here, and some recommendations could even be mutually exclusive. It's intended to give the city options to move forward and a baseline to make some safety decisions as it moves down. So every project, once it gets selected for implementation, needs to go through its feasibility study, its environmental review, the public process, all of those things are going to happen for each one. So there's not going to be a, we're going to solve safety today project. It's going to be going through these things one-on-one. So our process will be looked through and figure out what makes the most sense, what's going to have the biggest bang for the buck in the shortest term, what might be good for certain grant programs that are upcoming and things like that. So that's how we'll be giving the city some things to work with as it tries to make decisions on what it wants to make, invest in the short term.
I have a question for Daryl. Daryl, are you the person or your company the point people who write the grants or who have access to the grants that are available?
It varies by city. I believe, as Eric mentioned, we have, as part of our project, we'll be providing some support for that. But ultimately, it's the city that sponsors and submits the grants. We can provide the technical support to help write the grants. We can help develop the projects and try to create a package of things that we think will be successful or most likely to be successful as we pursue the grants. But the city is ultimately the sponsor. We can't submit them on behalf of the city, but we can certainly help put it together and give it the best chance we can.
Okay, thank you.
Would that be to say that if Kimberly Horn was retained to help write the grant, that would be a separate contract addressed in the future?
That's correct.
Once we expend what we've already got in this contract, that would be true, yes.
And I'll add that the city already has two lobbyists on retainer, both of which provide some limited grant writing services, and we've already seen some success with that, with those services. I know there's been a discussion at the city council level about bringing on a grant writer, either in-house or a consultant. At this point, we don't yet have a grant writer. City staff currently writes the majority of our grants. And the nice thing about the lobbyists is they send us newsletters typically once a month, and they make us aware of grants that are coming in various areas that we're interested in. So, we do actively look at those lists and make decisions about which grants to apply to, of course, after going to the city council.
Thank you. We normally allow the public comment period after the board questions, so we ended up having some additional questions, and based on that, I'll just quickly ask if anyone has any additional public comments based on the additional discussion and questions from the board just now. And if not, we will reclose the public comment period and then move on to our recommendation. The question for the PWAB is whether we would recommend that the staff and their consultant finalize the report and provide it to the City Council for adoption.
I move that we accept the report and forward it. Thank you.
Anyone second the motion?
Yeah, I'll second the motion.
Okay, thank you. And would the board like to have any discussion before we vote? Okay.
If I understand right, there's one piece which needs to be added to the report. Is the report completed otherwise?
Thank you for the question. Based on the comments received, if there are edits to be made, certainly if there's findings that there's things that are wrong or in the next couple of weeks, we will make those edits. But the final draft and all its appendices will be in a package that will go out with the City Council agenda prior to the meeting for prior to its adoption.
So shall we proceed to a vote? We have a motion to approve finalizing and submitting to City Council. I'm paraphrasing.
Sure, we have a motion and a second, and I'll do the roll call. Board Member Ingraffio?
Yes.
Board Member Goldman?
Yes.
Board Member Irwin?
Yes.
Board Member Hill?
Yes.
Board Member Gaffney?
Yes.
Board Member Nava?
Yes.
And Chair Beal?
Yes.
Motion
Thank you.
Passes.
Thank you, Eric. So our final agenda item today is going to be business item B2. This is consideration of installing a red curb, i.e. no parking zone, at 501 Sequoia Street in front of the west parking lot at Del Mar. Is there any presentation on this topic?
This will be mostly a verbal presentation, but we will bring up a photo of the area of concern, and it was also included in the agenda package. So this is relatively recent, at least since I've been with the city. We've been bringing some traffic-related items to Public Works Advisory Board for input and recommendation to better guide some of our processes as far as implementing new signage or, in this case, parking, striping, painting of curbs. We received a couple of emails from parents, I believe, or folks in the on Sequoia or in that neighborhood near Del Mar School, and then relatively recently, within the last 4 to 6 weeks, received also from the school district concerns about the lack of red curb at this location based upon because the other parking lot to the east and then the exit both have red curb on either side of the driveway, and there have been some close calls or just some limited visibility. So in looking at the site and consistency with other recommendations that we've brought before the PWAB, even recently with other commercial type or multifamily developments where we also did installation of red curb, we're proposing that we install 10 feet of red curb at this entrance driveway at Del Mar School. As you can see in the photo, there's a we lucked out. Google was driving around when there was a car parked there. So if you can imagine cars parked, you know, solid in front of that car and then the parking lot full and folks walking up and down the sidewalk, you know, on a school day or when there's an event. In fact, I've walked through there myself and can see that it could be a concern, especially if someone's turning into the driveway heading east. You wouldn't be able to see someone who's, you know, pedestrians that are proceeding to the east. So, and I think being that it is a school, that it's definitely an area of concern as well. We know that many children walk to school. So that is the nexus of this project, and we're just looking for the support of the PWAB to move forward with this before we proceed to actually painting the curb. So I'm happy to answer any questions you have.
Thank you, Eric. Any questions from the board?
Does the city have the facility to paint this themselves, or do we have to sub that out?
Thank you for the question, Board Member Hill. We do self-perform curb painting. We do not do street striping work. We don't have the ability to do that. But curb painting we can do in-house.
Any additional questions? No? Go ahead.
Is the curb retroreflective? Can you see it at night?
I don't believe the paint we use is retroreflective. I'm not sure if there are requirements for that, but certainly the newer the paint is, the more you can see it, but over time it would have to be maintained and freshened up like our other red and green curbs around town.
When I initially looked at this, I thought of it as a motorist's issue only, and I could understand why it wasn't painted red, because it's an entrance and nobody's making a right turn there. So I could see how it got overlooked before, but when you point out the pedestrians coming up the sidewalk and the potential conflict with cars coming in, to see those pedestrians earlier, I think that's a no-brainer. That curb should be painted. Thank you for bringing that.
Anyone else? All right. We'll close the board member comments and ask if there are any public comments.
Sorry, Betty Winholtz, only because I go to church out there, which is right next to Del Mar, and we know that traffic is a big issue. Actually, parking is an issue. when they drop off and pick up the kids. And we've had to put up signs asking people, you know, to not come in to our lot because we have our own school. And so it gets real congested. So I understand. I just maybe would like a clarification. Is this the only red stripe that's going in and it's not going the whole length? Because we do need some parking along there. Or is this red striping happening on both the entrance and the exit? Thanks.
Any other public comments? Or do we have anyone virtual with a comment?
Hi, board member Laura. So we have no raised hands.
Okay, thank you.
So to answer the question, this 10-foot, this location only would be added. The exit drive just to the west already has the red on both sides of it, and as well, the east parking lot has already has it as well. So. And then the east parking lot in front of it has a very extensive passenger loading white zone, and that would remain unchanged. And that's where they encourage to have the drop off and not have people parking for longer periods. So, but at this time, we haven't been approached about any additional passenger loading or any other red curb besides this location.
Okay, thank you. Looks like we can close the public comment period. The request is for the PWAB to approve the red stripe addition here, as I understand it.
Sure, I'll move that the PWAB approve the proposed red striping.
I'll second it.
Okay, would anyone like to have discussion before we vote? Nope, all right.
Board Member Ingraffio.
Yes.
Board Member Goldman?
Yes.
Board Member Irwin?
Yes.
Board Member Hill?
Yes.
Board Member Gaffney?
Yes.
Board Member Nava?
Yes.
And Chair Beal?
Yes.
The motion passes.
Thank you. That concludes our business items for today. Item C on our agenda is to discuss future agenda items. We'll start and ask if any board members have future agenda items they'd wish to raise at this time.
I suppose it could be a future agenda item, but I suppose probably my question will get answered. I'm referencing a question that was brought by a resident of Morro Bay, Sean Green, about what the stairway that used to exist at Sir Street down to the Embarcadero. And I understand that, you know, it was demolished because it was falling apart and not restored because of issues with disabled people and being able to accommodate that. My question is, are there any exceptions to that requirement of making it accessible to ADA? However difficult that might be, are there any exceptions?
Thank you for the question, Board Member Ingraffi, and I will say, you know, we're not really supposed to be deliberating. We don't have an item to talk about this, but I'll just answer your question that I mean, if there are any exceptions to ADA, they're very far and few between. The issue is that if we're building something new and we don't build that ADA, that would be a problem. Areas that I can think of that don't necessarily need to follow ADA are like some trails and things like that, but if it's pedestrian access.
Also, harbor and beach don't follow ADA.
Right, so that there's exceptions like that, but nothing where you're constructing, and that I'm aware of, you're constructing a set of stairs. But, you know, it's certainly something we can look into. I will note that as wonderful as this project sounds, as important as it sounds, we have so many active capital projects that are funded, and this is not a funded capital project, and I'm actually going to talk about that when it comes around to me. So.
Thank you. I mean, I understand the constraints, and I was pretty much sure of the response. I just wanted to ask to make sure.
Any other suggestions for future agenda?
Based on conversations I've had with the city, it sounds like FEMA's slow walking our applications for grants and stuff like that. I'd like to have an update of that status this next time around.
Okay.
And I have a question about lighting. Do we have to wait until this LSRP is approved and in action, or can we address some of the area issues in the town where they're lighting, the street lighting is pretty bad. On some streets, it's very dark when the sun goes down. And some of the main streets, when I'm driving and people are walking at night, I can barely see them until I'm right on them because there's not much lighting. And I know, when we put street lights in, do we have to take into account, I don't know what it's called, you can't have things that, you know, the sky, in the view of the sky has to be taken into account when you put in street lights or something.
Board Member Goldman, I think I know what you're getting at, and actually someone approached me about this very question this morning at the chamber breakfast. And I know that at the Embarcadero, it tends to be kind of dark. And my understanding, and I don't have all the background, and I'll be upfront about that, but my understanding is that that was a conscious decision made maybe years ago for environmental concerns and light pollution. And so, but to your original question, it certainly can be explored through the LRSP because street lighting is, related to streets and safety. But you may be asking a broader question about kind of whether we need to block light in certain directions and things like that. And so I would ask that we just contain that within the LRSP discussion.
And if there's nothing else, we would ask for the department's future agenda topics.
It's a couple of items. Thank you, Chair Peel. One is, traditionally in February, I believe it's in the bylaws that we have to elect a chair. It doesn't necessarily need to be a new chair, but it can be. And so just want to get that on everyone's radar. For those of you interested in being chair, you should reach out to me. Or if John, if you want to be chair. So that's one. Two is we've had a couple of requests about diagonal parking, both on Marina and on Pacific near the Embarcadero, to increase parking capacity. It's an interesting idea. The staff isn't comfortable doing that just based on a couple of requests, and we think it'd be nice to vet those ideas through the PWAB. And a third item, why am I blanking on this? Oh, yes, thank you. So the city manager and I have been talking, and we've been looking at the workload of the engineering division. And especially in light of Mr. Radio taking his departure, we will be a bit hamstrung for a few months until we find a new city engineer to replace Mr. Radio. But we've just been looking at how many active capital projects we currently have. And the model right now is, yes, we'll do whatever, but we just, because there's so many projects, we're working incrementally on so many of them that really not much is getting done from the standpoint of the expectations of the community. So we would like to do a radical realignment of our capital project prioritization. We'd like to take that to City Council, but of course we'd like to run it by PWAB first. I don't know that that's going to be ready by the February meeting, but I'm hoping to bring it there because I think it's important, and I think it's important that we do that before budget season. So ideally we'd bring that to PWAB in February and then to the City Council in March. And that will be really a discussion about what capital projects are most important and what things we focus on. Luckily, we're a city that has a lot of very good ideas about things we should do in our community, but our challenge is when we say yes to all of them, we don't really get as much done because there's so many things to do here. So anyway, you could all look forward to that discussion at one of our future meetings.
So cloning sounds like it's on the agenda. I think if there's nothing else, we can go ahead and adjourn our meeting. Thank you, everyone. Thank you, board members. And we always very much appreciate the public coming to attend and provide comments. So thank you all and have a great evening. I'll let you know that our next regular meeting is Wednesday, February 21st, same time, same place. Thank you.